ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तम् कुमारि धीमहि तन्नो दुर्गिः प्रचोदयात् ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः
इन् दिस् बृहदारण्यक उपनिषद् द टीचिङ्ग् इस् वेरि स्लैट्लि डिफरेण्ट् फ्रोम् द वे इट् इस् गिवन् इन् अदर् उपनिषद्स् टु मेक् इट् वेरि क्लियर् द वेरि बिगिनिङ्ग् इट् सेल्फ् Paramatma is already there as the Jivatma. It means the truth obtaining in an individual is non-separate from the truth of the whole. Jiva and Parama are two different qualifications attributed to one and the only reality, same reality. The difference is only in these qualifications. Actually speaking, the qualified is one and the same. The difference only in the words. Paramaha and Jivaha, only the difference only in the words. What is qualified? The Atma, there is no difference. Atma is one and the same. Of course, this is the clear vision finally you are supposed to have. So one has to see clearly that this I, which I use all the time to refer to myself, is actually the truth, which is Atma, which is the only reality. And other than that, truth, the reality, implied by the words is Atma or Brahma, there's nothing other than that. Only in this clear vision, there will be objectivity. There will not be subjectivity. The freedom is in not being subjective, which means the freedom is in being objective, which need not be attained, which has to be understood. It is something, a fact to be clearly understood and assimilated. It is not to be attained at all. It is, what is it to attain for us? But for this to become, to have this fact understood and assimilated and ascertained, it takes this human mind, takes very long. The mind has to become subtler and subtler, refined and refined, to appreciate much subtler fact of all that is there is only the truth. So it is developed here, Param Brahma, otherwise called Paramatma, created this universe, and having created this universe, means the objects of enjoyment, bhogya vastuni, bhogya prapanchaha. And as part of the bhogya prapancha, having created the bhoga sadhanani, the instruments of enjoyment, and also the abodes of enjoyment, bhoga ayatanani, the Paramatma entered as the bhokta, the enjoyer. See, bhogya prapanchaha, the objects, the world of objects of enjoyment, again, it's in plural in number. Then the instruments of enjoyment are plural in number. The abodes of enjoyment are plural in number. But how many enjoyers are there? Isn't it? Are there many bhoktaraha? No. Bhokta is one and the same. And even bhokta, the enjoyer, is a qualification attributed to the same Atma from the standpoint of the abodes of enjoyment, instruments of enjoyment and the objects of enjoyment. There is no bhokta other than the Atma. So that is what made very clear through the Anupravesha Shrutihi. So the Vedantic statement, the Vedic statement, which talks about the entry of Paramatma, reveals the entry of Paramatma into the creation, reveals this fact that this Jivatma, Paramatma, was entered into the mind. I will truth of the mind, as the witness of the mind, is another than Paramatma. So how is this Paramatma available in every mind? As the Sakshi. So Sakshi Rupena Paramatma Sada Upalabhyate. Paramatma is always available in the mind as the witness. Doesn't mean Paramatma is not elsewhere. What is, there is only Paramatma, everything is Paramatma only, but still Paramatma is available for recognition in the mind as the witness. There is a witness. Nobody can deny this. Isn't it? All of us are very clear, 100% clear about the witness being there all the time. And a witness where? Where is the witness? You can't find the witness on your thighs and the nose and the head. Witness is always witness of the mind. You see, manasaha sakshi. Manasakshi. Manasakshi. Isn't it? Whether anybody knows anything you know or not, your mind is 100% known to you. Is it being true to one's conscience? People always say, isn't it? Conscience is consciousness, isn't it? Who is this witness here? Who is the witness? Manasakshi. Manasaha Sakshi. Nobody can deny this, else there is a Sakshi. And that, if you don't need to go analyzing in search of anything else, Brihadaranyakopanishad straight away says is what now? No, Saha Pravishtaha, that very expression is enough to say that Paramatma is there as the Sakshi, Manasaha Sakshi. It means if you want to discover what the truth is, what this Atma is, what Paramatma is, you should go to the place where it is available for recognition and is available only in your mind as the witness. And that Paramatma's availability for recognition as the witness of the mind alone is indirectly revealed by the expression that Paramatma has entered. That is very, 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 that is very clear. In the last class also we saw that. So who is this Sakshi? The Sakshi is, there is no Sakshi at all other than the reality, implied by the term Atma. So what is, in what form does the Sakshi obtain? The Paramatma who is there as a Sakshi, in what form does it obtain? In the form of Sakshi, as Sakshi. So okay, Sakshi again, okay, what form? And you have to see the fact, formlessness. Paramatma is in the form of what? Formless. Formless reality. Formlessness is the form. Formlessness is the rupa rahityameva rupam. Isn't it? Formlessness is the form. Definitely, if you distinguish the Sakshi from the Sakshyam. Now, this is, you cannot do it physically, isn't it? How to distinguish the Sakshi from the Sakshya? How to distinguish the witness from the witnessed? What can you do physically? You don't need to do anything physically. You cannot do anything physically. Intellectually, cognitively, you have to discern the Sakshi from the Sakshya. Isn't it? You see each state of mind. You analyze the deep sleep state of mind. You analyze the waking state of mind. You analyze the dream state of mind. And these states of mind do change. There is a state of mind where you know you are, you know the world is. There is a state of mind when you don't even know that you are, therefore you cannot know there is a world also. This deep sleep state. And all this, each state of mind is known means, this experience itself is object of experience. The state of mind, which is a state of experience itself, is object of experience. Do you see this? the state of mind, which is state of experience, is an object of experience. Experience itself is experienced. You have to see this very clearly. Experience, which is a state of mind, is an object of experience. So that which obtains is a sakshi. If the state of mind experienced, the witness experienced, the witnessed experience is experienced, means we have to say the experiencer is the witness. So the experiencer is the same, witness is the same, witnessed is different. Witnessed changes, witness is the same. And that witness, if you are very clear, you are seeing now, you are seeing. Isn't it? That witness is the truth of I. If that witness is the truth of the I, you have to say, I am the witness. Even though I do not know my own existence in deep sleep state, I cannot deny my existence. I do not know the existence of myself. I do not know my own existence in deep sleep state. But I do not deny my existence. But I am very much there in sleep. Not knowing my own existence means definitely there is no witness other than myself. So I have to say I am the witness. If I am the witness means I have resolved I sense in the witness. You have to be with me step by step, okay? Already resolved I sense in the witness. And who is that witness now? You have to see that witness definitely is only a witness. There is no witness with any form. Witness is only a qualification. From the standpoint of the witnessed state of mind, if you see, that witness is the reality. The one who obtains as the witness, enjoying the qualification of being the witness who is there, is another than the reality. And that vastu and that reality is of the nature of formlessness. Are you all seeing now? Right now. You have to see. Right now you have to see the fact of the reality is of the nature of formlessness. Is formlessness. And this reality is what? Because it is not, it is behind the witness. The one who witnesses, the sense powers being not there, my thoughts being not there, perception being not there, the perceived world being not there, the witness obtaining in deep sleep state witnesses what? Witnesses the world being not there. The perceived world being not there is witnessed. Perceiving sense organs being not there is witnessed. Perception being not there is witnessed. Thoughts being not there is witnessed. Isn't it? Therefore, the witness which sees, which witnesses, the perception, perceiver, no, the perception being not there, instead of perception being not there, perceived world being not there means, definitely, the witness is what? Not, is the abstract, is it? The formless reality is the abstract reality. You can see how the reality is not object of thought, not object of sense organ, not an object at all. Isn't it? Then not even something which can be described. Now we have to understand. Therefore, I explained last class very clearly how this reality is of the nature of all pervasiveness. I think the whole class has spent to explain how all pervasiveness implies timelessness and spatial limitlessness and object-wise limitlessness last class. Isn't it? Therefore, this reality which is of the nature of limitlessness is definitely 100% is clear, it is one. It is one. From the standpoint of my own mind, I can understand this is how any other mind also is. So there is no witness other than this reality, which is only reality, which is Sakshi. Therefore, this reality alone, which has the status of, enjoys the status of being the Sakshi, actually is Atma. Because of its nature of all pervasiveness, implied by the term Atma, this Sakshi, which is Atma, is otherwise given the qualification of being the Paramatma. Really speaking, Sakshi is Paramatma. Therefore, this Anupravesha Shruti itself already established Jivatma Paramatma Swarupa Aikyam. Already has established the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total. It's very, very clear. Then afterwards, there came, if this is very clear already, no doubt at all, you cannot place I sense anywhere. I is resolved in Sakshi, Sakshi is resolved in the formless, abstract, all-pervasive, timeless, limitless reality, which is Brahma. Therefore, there is neither I nor Jagat absolutely. The I also, the individual also is as though, the objective universe also is as though, what is absolutely there, always there is only this Atma. If repeatedly seen, this fact is seen, and with the gradually, intellectually, cognitively, when you resolve this I sense, you can see there's only freedom, there's no bondage, there's no limitation. If this is the fact, then why there is samsara? That's where the question comes. If this is the fact, it is already very clear for us. Then why there is sorrow, why there is problems, why there are limitations, why there is bondage? And who has birth and who has death, who is going through patches of opposites in between birth and death? In the second chapter, we have already learnt Najayate, Mriyate, Vakadachit, all memorized verses also. It's very clear. Who is born here? Is this Sakshi born? Naja, isn't it? It's all very clear. Then why there is samsara? Who has samsara? Who is going through samsara? Who is going through bondage? Does Atma go through bondage? Has bondage? No. Anatma has bondage then? No. Then where is bondage? But there seems to be bondage. That is why, and in the last class I also introduced, it is all because of the Upati, Upadhi, Upahita, isn't it? Sambandha. Because of this, all these Upadhis, the Upadhis, you know very well Upadhi, I'm not going to explain Upadhi, Upadhi, Upahitam, okay? This Upahitam and Upadhi, Atma is Upahitam, Anatma is Upadhi. Anatma, the entire objective universe, including one's body, mind's complex, is Upadhi. Isn't it? Anyway, the object universe leave. Here the body becomes Upadhi for the individual. So because of this Upadhi, because of this closeness, proximity, Upadhi dharmas are superimposed upon the Upahita Chaitanyam. Therefore, there's an error in the perception. Because of it, there's a notion that I am bound. Really speaking, there's no real bondage. Bondage also is notional. Therefore, these we also explained in the previous classes. They were now how to free oneself from this bondage. The seeming bondage. There's no real bondage. So notion caused bondage. The notional bondage has to be resolved, and for which the error in the perception has to be corrected, and for which, what is the next? That is where I introduced last class, after the Anupravesha Shrutihi, what comes is this Vidya Sutram. And I said Vidya Sutram also is a statement which reveals the fact revealed by the Mahavakyam. Mahavakyam reveals the identity between the Jiva and Ishvara, individual and the total, microcosmic being and macrocosmic being. So here, the Vidya Sutram actually reveals the same fact revealed by the Mahavakyam. And here, how to resolve this? So Sakshi is, there is no Sakshi other than Paramatma. Sakshi is Paramatma. And the Sakshi is only a qualification attributed there. Really speaking, Paramatma alone, the only absolute self alone is there as the witness of all the minds. Only witness of all the minds. That's why we have to say from the standpoint of Sakshi, all are one. From the standpoint of the Sakshya, all are different. The standpoint of the Sakshi, all are one. The standpoint of the Sakshya, all are different. Therefore, this, the Vidya Sutram comes. Vidya Sutram only tells us here how to change this. If witness is already Paramatma, this has to be again assimilated. So this witness is none other than Paramatma. Atma ityeva upasita is the vak sentence. Atma atmetyeva upasita, atmetyeva upasita. What is Atma here? This Sakshi is Atma. And who is this Atma? Atma is Brahma. This Sakshi, the one who enjoys his qualification of being the Sakshi, another than all pervasive reality implied by the term Atma. And his Atma is what? The absolute reality, same reality implied by another term Brahma. So Atma itya upasita. Who is Atma? This Atma, the reality obtaining as the witness, implied by the term Atma, another than that Brahma. What is that Brahman? We have to remember the Brahman which was there before this universe came into existence. Before the universe originated, before the universe came into existence, the Brahman which was there, because of whose presence alone universe enjoys the existence, because of the presence of which, you know, all the sense organs are capable of functioning as sense organs, and that Brahman which was there before, and in this Upanishad, the word Brahman, in fact, the Brahman is implied by another word, avyakritam. Only Upanishad, Brahman is implied by the word avyakritam. So, atmetyeva upasita. There, Atma and Brahman are one and the same. Both the words imply the same reality. So, the same reality is implied by the term Brahman in terms of its nature of limitlessness. The same reality is implied by the term Atma in terms of its nature of all pervasiveness. They are not two different things. But that Brahman which is Atma alone is there as the Sakshi. So this Vidya Sutram is already preparing as a preparation which is going to be committed upon later on by the other Mahavakyams. This also made very clear here. But here, when Shankara Bhagavatpada takes this sentence to comment upon, for his right comment on this one sentence, Atme Deva Upasita, that is where, you know, the Karma Kandis, Pura Mimamsakaha. So here, to make it very clear again, Shankara Bhagavatpada takes up some discussions. See, there is Pura Mimamsakaha. I'll tell you what it is. Mimamsa means analytical study. Because you're all Sanskrit master students now. Mati. Mati means measures. Mati means like gachati, patati, likati. Mati means measures. And matum iccha mimamsa. Desire to measure is called mimamsa, a desirative word. So, desire to measure means what? Desire to analyze. So, mimamsa actually implies what? Analysis. Analytical study. Mimamsa means analytical study. And we have, there is analytical study of the Karmakanda of the Veda. There is also analytical study of the Vedanta. So, analytical study of Vedanta is called Uttara Mimamsa. Analytical study of the Karmakanda is called Purva Mimamsa. Purva Mimamsa, Uttara Mimamsa. And Uttara Mimamsa is in the form of textbook called Brahma Sutrani. Brahma Sutrani wrote analytical study of the Uttara Bhaga, the later part of the Veda called Veda Antashastram. So, analytical study of Vedanta Shastram is different, which is called Brahma Sutras. And we have Pura Mimamsa Jaimaniya Sutrani. We have this different sutras we have. But here, Pura Mimamsa Kaha means the people who are totally given to the thorough analytical study of the Karmakanda of the Veda. And these Karma Kandis have some different way of analyzing things. See, they are not like other people. Karma Kandinaha, Purmimamsakaha are not like other people. I mean, they are not like non-Avedikas. The non-believers of Veda, Avedikas are different. But Karma Kandis, Purmimamsakaha are staunch Vaidikaha. They accept Veda as the Shastram. They accept Veda as the Pramanam. They are Vaidikaha. But they have a completely different view. You know, they are of the view that the whole Veda is predominantly of the importance of performance of actions and rituals. So, karma pradhanaha vedaha. So, for the entire Veda, if you ask Vedanti, what will you say? The Veda's ultimate, see, how do we see? How does a Vedanti sees the entire Veda? Understand that first. So, every Vedanti looks at the entire Veda as the whole Veda as a valid means of knowledge. Pramana Granthaha. The whole Veda is looked upon as a means of knowledge. We don't say only Vedanta alone. No, the entire Veda has to be looked upon as a means of knowledge. But the Veda, ultimate aim of the Veda is to help, it's a Vedantin's view, I'm first time telling. Then you can go to Karmakandi's view. You have to understand both, to understand discuss Shankara's commentary on this particular. See, now Vidya Sutram is a commentary on Vidya Sutram. To understand his commentary, what the discussions he presents there, to understand that you need to have know these things. The view of a Vedanti, Uttara Mimamsakaha, and the view of a Purva Mimamsakaha, we have to have both the views. How does a Vedanti sees the Veda? A Vedanti, otherwise called Uttaramimamsakaha. The person who is given to the thorough analytical study of the entire Vedanta Shastram sees the whole Veda as the Pramanam. Pramana Grantha has a valid means of knowledge. According to him, the Veda's main aim, the ultimate aim of the Veda is to help a human being discover his happiness, fullness, freedom, which is already there as one's own real nature. By helping him discover the truth as one's own self, in one's own mind. And for which the end portion of the Veda, called Vedanta Shastram, serves exclusively as a means of knowledge of the truth of the whole, employed by the term Brahman, obtaining as one's own self. No, Vedanta consisting of Upanishads, which you all know very well. But even though Vedanta, Upanishads alone form the pramanam for the knowledge of the truth, Vedanti validates the karma. In the light of the knowledge of the Upanishads, a real Vedanti, Uttarimamsakaha, should validate the importance of the karma also. Therefore, the whole, whether it's a performance of ritual or practice of meditation as a preparatory discipline or other religious disciplines or even the mundane day-to-day activities, you know, to live the life. And so everything is very important, because that's why even this purusharthas are analyzed. Artha, kama, dharma are also added as the purusharthas. Even the moksha is the parapurusharthaha ultimate goal. See, all the three pursuits are also important, because one has to live one's life properly, pursuing artha kama in conformity with dharma, thereby live a life of karma yoga, how to convert the karma into yoga, to prepare the mind for jnanam, thereby what to discover this truth. So this, even though this knowledge is the ultimate goal, this knowledge is very easy to accomplish, but mind has to be qualified. The mind has become refined. So the mental refinement needs a lot of time. The attainment of knowledge is very easy. Discovery of moksha is very, very easy. What involves time is the mental refinement, subtleness of the mind. Converting the gross mind to a subtle and refined mind takes quite a lot of time. That's why the whole way of life is also taught here. And that's why as a Vedanti, as a Uttaramimamsakaha, one validates the whole Veda. So rituals are important, worship is important, meditation is important, everything is important, everything contributes for one's preparedness, for mental refinement, emotional development, it's a maturity. Very important. Therefore we say, yes, perform ritual, practice meditation, and enjoy artha kamas, pursue artha kamas, enjoy your life, live your life, also contribute for the perpetuation of dharma. But at the same time, see, as you're enjoying life, enjoying pleasures in the world, you also be intelligent, sharp enough to see the limitations of everything you're enjoying in the world. And as you discover yourself, the limitations of everything you're enjoying in the world, and naturally, without being told by other person, you yourself will become intelligent to grow out of desire for these things. That's how Shastra validates everything. And there's a time. So by the time you grow out of desire for other objects also, you'd have been physically old as well. So you naturally you are not fit for enjoyment anymore. So it's a nice way of preparing your mind. Isn't it? You cannot do the same thing what you are doing at the age of 20 and 35, at the age of 60, 70. Natural. So as you grow physically older, emotionally also you discover dispassion. See, if you discover dispassion as you age physically, if you grow emotionally also, you are safe. Mean you can avoid becoming miserable. Isn't it? So the whole, that's why Uttaramimamsakaha prepares you. That's why Uttaramimamsakaha Vedanti can never undermine Karmakanda. Always validates. And not only that, a Vedanti can, in the light of the Vedantic knowledge, you can validate everything. Any form of other worship, any culture, everything can be validated. That's why Vedanta Jnanam should help you become all accommodative, all inclusive. That's why it gives you the widest vision. No, nothing else can give you a vision, widest vision like Vedanta. Isn't it? So this is how Uttaramimamsakaha sees everything. Whereas Purvamimamsakaha thinks. For him, what is the goal? First I tell you, Purvamimamsakaha. For him, enjoyment of pleasures. But artha kamas you have to be happy. He doesn't deny dharma also, no problem. For which you need to perform action, you need to do perform rituals. Therefore, you will do the inclination to do the karma will be there only if there is an order, commandment. So according to him, karma vedaha karma pradhanaha. Veda's primary aim of Veda, according to Karma Kandi, is what? Performance of ritual. Perform ritual, get the benefit, result, enjoy the result of the karma. So, in the Veda, the statements, there are statements of commandments. They are called Vidhi Vakyani. Vidhi Vakyani, otherwise called Vidhi Nishedha Vakyani. Nishedha Vakya means a statements which tells not to do. Don'ts. Statements revealing the don'ts are called Nishedha Vakyani. Statements emphasizing the do's are called Vidhi Vakyani. Must be done, should not be done. We can say Vidhi Nishedha Vakyani. Mainly Vidhi Vakyani. Do this. So all those statements of commandments will have the verb, imperative verbs. So according to Karmakandi, a statements all of all the statements of the Veda, the statements of commandments where the order is emphasized. No, the strictly do this, perform this, enjoy this, get this. Like such express statements or commandments are important statements, very important statements. And what about the statements of facts? There are many statements of facts in the Veda, especially in Vedanta Shastram. Tattvamasi is what? Tattvamasi is a Mahavakyam. It's not a statement of commandment, it's a statement of fact. Aham Brahma Asmi. Aham Brahma Asmi is what? Statement of fact. So there are many statements of facts. So Karma Kandi doesn't even consider the statements of facts. According to him, statements of facts are of no use. So what? Aham Brahma Asmi, Tattvamasi, they reveal this fact. So what? What do you get? Understand? According to them, statements of facts are of no use. But whereas statement of commandments are very useful. Why? No, because they create inclination in you to do. I explained to you, very beautiful. Okay? Very, see, nice to know. Really, how these arguments sharpen your buddhi, you will see that. The next class will take time. Shankara Bhagavatpada writes very little about this. You know, but Shankara Bhagavatpada's few sentences are really thoroughly enjoyed by sub-commentators. And they really analyze and make it magnified. But nice to understand for us, you know, how they see it. Anyway, it's good for us to know. Already you know, Jivatma Paramatma is one, isn't it? And it's only for extra. You can objectively see this. So, Karma Kanda is for this Uttara Purva Mimamsakaha. For them, performance of ritual is very important. So, statements of commandments, vidhivakyani, are very, very important. And so this, you know, siddha vakyani means what? The statements of facts are of no use. And not only that, for they do not believe in Ishvara. Understand, that is the worst thing is what? Puramamsakaha, Karma Kandis do not believe in Ishvara. They accept the karma, they accept the Veda as a pramanam, they believe in performance of rituals, they believe in the results of rituals, they believe in enjoyment of rituals, you accept Ishvara. That is why we have people. Okay, karma kanda is you accept Ishvara. Suppose if they ask, where has this Veda come from? And what does the Vedanti says? According to Vedanti, the Veda, it has come from Bhagavan. For us, Veda is a timeless scripture. We attribute it to the reality is Ishvara. Reality being the source of knowledge, the Veda has its origin where? We at very Ishvara himself. I have to explain that also to you. How Veda is a timeless scripture. It should, you not have any doubt in this. But become very clear. Therefore they, according to them, Veda is not, Bhagavan is not the author of the Veda for them. Which means Veda has not come from Bhagavan for them. There is no Ishvara. People ask you, then who, how come that, how can you, how did you get this knowledge? They say, the word, in the sentence, wherever the verb is there, the verbal affix, the verbal termination has some power. You know, the verbal termination, the verbal affix, like we say, may one perform, in Sanskrit we can say kriyeta, kuru, yajeta, may one worship. That the last, if we take that final affix, the verbal affix, yajeta, may one perform. That the verbal terminations, the affixes, they say that, okay? They have certain power, capacity, that they create inclination. May you go, if I tell you, the statement of commandment must have an imperative verb, isn't it? Statement of commandment must have an imperative verb. That verb itself, when the verb is uttered, verb has the capacity to create inclination in you. may one perform the ritual. May the one who wants to go to heaven perform Jyotishtoma. May the one who wants to go to heaven perform this ritual. That may perform, look at this, may perform, that expression is an imperative verb, isn't it? That imperative verb itself has what now? Creates an inclination to do. It is his own argument, okay? The imperative verbs, when they uttered properly, they have the capacity to create inclination on the part of human being to do something. And he calls it bhavana. Once that inclination is created, then the inclination was now. So the bhavana, this inclination is created by the verb. In a sentence, the imperative verb creates the inclination. The inclination created in the mind, what now? Makes the person do. Makes the person do. Is it clear? Therefore, this is how the karma happens. They don't need Ishvara. So, perform the ritual, enjoy the result. Therefore, karma is what now? Karma is the means for knowledge. Okay, you need knowledge for performing karma. What is knowledge for then? Knowledge of the karma kanda is for it to perform the karma. You have to understand, study the karma kanda, understand the karma kanda, then you have the knowledge of how to perform the rituals, and the knowledge of the know-how of rituals, you have it, then you perform the ritual. So have knowledge, implement the knowledge, then enjoy the benefit of knowledge. That is the purushartha. Enjoyment of the benefit of the ritual is the purushartha. And to enjoy the benefit of the ritual, karma, you have to perform karma. To perform karma, you should know how to perform. For which you need jnanam. Karma kanda jnanam. Therefore, karma is important. Enjoyment of result of ritual is the aim, purushartha. There is no Ishvara. Big difference. Therefore, now he comes here. Okay, this is the karma kandi. Who is of this understanding? I'm going to explain more about karma kandi next class. But now let me tell you. The poor Mimamsakaha, nice to know for us. Isn't it? We'll know thoroughly about Purva Mimamsaka in the next class. Let me tell you. And this Purva Mimamsaka comes here. Now it is very clear for us. What is very clear? Atme Teva Upasita. This Vidya Sutram, already I told you. This is a brief statement which reveals the knowledge revealed by the Mahavakyam. May one, the word Upasita, please understand, Shankara Upada writes here. The word Upasita, even though Upasita literally means may one meditate, but still, we should not take it as meditate. Shankara says we should take it as may one understand. The word Upasita means may one understand, may one recognize, may one know, may one understand this with Atma, the self, the witness here is the Atma, which is another than Brahma. May one understand this witness, Sakshi, being none other than Atma. Sakshi is Atma. May one understand. Atma ityeva upasita. Okay, now? Atma ityeva upasita means what? may one understand this witness to be the Atma which is Brahman, implied by the word, previously mentioned by the word Avyakritam, which was there before this creation. Before this entire universe came into existence, what was the absolute reality implied by the term Brahman. That Brahman alone is what? The all-pervasive reality implied by the term Atma. The Atma is here what? A witness. What is this? Who is this witness? I am the witness. Therefore, I am the witness. Witness is all-pervasive reality implied by the term Atma. This Atma is another than Paramatma, Param Brahma, which was there before this creation, means I am Brahma Asmi. So therefore, this I actually is the limitless reality, which doesn't come and go, which is always there, which alone is. Now, who has samsara now? Who is going to samsara? If you are Brahma, if I is Brahma, I am Brahma Asmi means, where is samsara? Who has samsara then? You are of the nature limitless, you are limitless reality. Who is going through pairs of opposites? Who is going through pain, suffering? Who is going through samsara? Who is born? Who is dying? Who is undergoing all these changes? Understand? Therefore, you can see, as the vision becomes clearer and clearer, you can see objectively how all in your perception, really there is no bondage. That's become very clear. Therefore, Atme Teva Upasita, may you understand this witness being none other than all pervasive reality, impervitam Atma, which is Brahma. So, what does the verb Upasita mean? Upasita is an imperative verb in a potential mood, word. Okay, may one should understand this witness being the Atma, which is another than Brahma. Why should you see this? It's a fact. See this fact. Understand this fact. If you understand this, this is a fact. Upanishad says this is a fact. The problem is you don't have the understanding of this fact. If you understand this fact enough, there is no bondage. There's no samsara. Therefore, what does it say? May one understand this fact of witness being the all-pervasive reality, impervitam Atma, which is another than Brahma. See clear now? But now, so Shankara Bhagavad has written clearly what? Upasita. Even though the verb Upasita literally means may one meditate, it should be understood here as the word understanding. May one understand, may one recognize, may one see, may one know the fact. Now, Karmakanda is very happy. Oh, Upasita, may one meditate. May one, is it? Oh, there's an imperative expression. There's a verb. Atmete Upasita means he comes there. See, the whole Veda's aim is what? Perform ritual, enjoy the benefit of the rituals. Karma is important. Isn't it? So Upasita is what? May one meditate, isn't it? It is a verb. And it's an imperative verb. Therefore, here Upanishad only emphasizes action, not knowledge. Shankara says the word Upasita emphasizes knowledge. Know the fact, says Uttarimamsakaha. May do, says the Karmakandi. Is it clear now? Upasita, may one meditate, literal meaning. Shankara says, may one understand. May one know the fact of already, the fact of the witness being already the Atma, which is Brahma. And he says, may one do. He comes, argues. Now, Shankara Bhagavad is going to, he makes it very, very brief commentary. But thanks to some commentators, and they take an opportunity, for them it's a good opportunity to express their scholarship, isn't it? In fact, in this context, the sub-commentators alone are going to help us understand but more than Shankara Bhagavatpada. They really magnify Shankara's few, one or two sentences, and they are going to magnify it and make us understand what actually is this Karma Kandi. Please don't get carried away by what he is saying. First of all, understand who Karma Kandi is. What is his view? What is his contention? And then you can see how how Shankara Bhagavatpada is going to refute him. Is it? We need to we can't refute, okay? What do we not refute? Shankara knows how to refute. So we understand Shankara, and then we have to understand how Shankara Bhagavatpada refutes them. What a genius mind, isn't it, to know that? They don't think atheists are only now, okay? Or Uttara Mimamsakaha, Vaidikaha were non-believers of God. They are thinkers. But the problem was, they don't accept Jnanam. For them, statements of facts are of no use. Suppose there is a fan, okay, there is a television. It's a statement of fact. There's a television. What is the use? Watch television. If I say what now? That creates inclination in you. There is a television means what? So what? A television be there. But you say watch television. I said food is very tasty. What's the use? So what? Eat food. Which is more emphatic, tell me? Eat food or food is tasty? Which is more emphatic?
Eat food.
So statements of facts are of no use. The statement of commandments are effective. Why? Because they create inclination. The verbs themselves have some power. Especially this vidhivakyani have the verbs. So the statements are with the commandments alone are very important statements, because they have the verbs, and the verbs have some powers to create the inclination to do karma, isn't it? And then once inclination is there, inclination results in action. Once you do it, enjoy the benefit. Worldwide travel is possible. Traveling worldwide is possible. By knowing this, what is the use? Come on, travel worldwide. Understand the difference? These are my sentences, okay? This is what he's going to say, that the statements of facts do not serve any purpose. As statements of commandments, especially do's and don'ts, within Nishedha Vakyani, definitely they create interest in doing things. Once the interest is there, then the action will happen, and then you can enjoy the benefit. So the Veda, the whole Veda's aim is to make people do, enjoy the benefits. They accept, they love Veda. They like Veda very much. Last portion in Karma Jnana Kanda is boring. You know why? The karma is negated. Who, you are not the doer. You are not the enjoyer. Where is action? Isn't it? It all negates karma. Jnana Kanda negates kartrutvam, negates bhoktrutvam, negates karma. Diagonally opposite. And for him, was really speaking, people love it. Karma Kanda will attract. That's why you need Purusha. That's why maturity is also important. And Jnana Kanda has said what? We know very well, Shruti is called Mata. You know why? Why Shruti is called Mother? Veda is called Mother? Because the whole Karma Kanda, huge voluminous portion is Veda prescribes to help every human child to grow. Okay? Every human child means what? Every human being, as long as he's emotionally a child, the Karma Kanda for him. Okay? When you as you're grown up physically, emotionally also, when you're ready, then this is not enough. You need different type of food. That is when we give what? Vedanta. So karma, Jnana Kandi doesn't, Uttara Yamasakaha does not deny. Of course we need to do karma. Vidivakyani are important. Do's and don'ts are important. Paramahansa ritual is very important. But the acceptance of Ishvara. Accepts Ishvara. He says, yes, you do karma, enjoy the results, to know the limitations, grow out of it. So for emotional growth, you need Karma Kanda, you need karma. But Vidivakyani are important. Vidivakyani are relevant only within Karma Kanda. Understand? Vidivakyani are important where? Only within Karma Kanda. But Vidivakyani have nothing to do with Vedanta Shastram. The statements of commandments, Vidivakyani, do not have any scope in Vedanta Shastram, where karma is negated. Why? Because knowledge itself is moksha. See, in Karma Kanda, you study the Karma Kanda, understand the rituals. If you know how to perform the ritual, it's not enough. You have to implement the knowledge of performing, isn't it? Only then you can enjoy the benefit of the knowledge. To enjoy the benefit of knowledge of Karma Kanda, you have to perform. The knowledge has to be implemented. It is not enough if you simply know how to cook. You have to cook. Tell you the benefit of knowledge of cooking. I know how to cook, but you have to be starving. Okay? You have to be hungry. You can't eat. To enjoy the benefit of knowledge of cooking, you have to put the knowledge into action. Karma Kanda is important. Whereas, in Jnana Kanda, what happened? Jnana Kanda, knowledge itself is moksha. Why? The whole bondage is a problem caused by ignorance. Is it clear? Knowledge itself is moksha. After knowing Aham Brahma Asmi, it is I, all the time I am saying, what is this I? I am the witness. What is this witness? The witness is the all-pervasive reality implied by the term Atma. What is this Atma? This Atma was the one Brahman which was there before the entire universe came into existence. Once you discover this fact, this understanding this fact itself is moksha. That's why Atmeti Upasita, there he means understand the fact that you are already Brahma. So, Atmete Upasita, this Vidya Sutram only reveals the fact revealed by the Mahavakyam. May you understand the fact that you are already Atma, which is Brahma. Is it clear? Then afterwards, what do you need to achieve? Because Aham Brahmasmi Jnanam itself is freedom. Knowledge is freedom. That is why we need Jnanam. You don't need to do anything after Jnanam. See, it's illogical to practice knowledge of Vedantic knowledge. To say that I practice knowledge means what? I practice knowledge. I put my knowledge into practice. In Vedantic, it is illogical to say. And Swamiji used to teach this actually. There is no such thing called practical Vedanta. What do you want to practice? Swamiji is the only person who had the guts to say this. There is no such thing called practical Vedanta. Vedantic, after attainment of Vedantic knowledge, you cannot practice anything. Don't need to practice. Dharma jnanam, you have to practice. Once you have the knowledge of dharma, then you have to practice. Understand now? If you know the values, you have to live, practice that in day-to-day life. Dharma needs, knowledge of dharma needs to be practiced. But knowledge of the truth need not be practiced. What is there to practice? If you understand wave is water, that's all. What is there to practice? That's why there is no such thing called practical Vedanta. Vedantic jnanam, knowledge of Vedanta need not be, cannot be implemented in the form of action. You live the vision, that's all. You live the vision as a free person. That is the difference between karmakanda and jnanakanda. Karmakanda jnanam, knowledge of karmakanda needs to be implemented. Knowledge of jnanakanda itself is the end. In fact, after jnanam, you resolve, negate the karma. Negate the doership. Is it clear? Therefore, and a big difference is what? Uttaravimamsakaha accepts Ishvara. People who teach Vedanta, if they don't accept Ishvara, they cannot bring Ishvara into the picture. I tell you, they'll be an utter failure. You resolve Ishvara, definitely you'll resolve. As a Vedanti, you will resolve Ishvara. Very painfully in the beginning, magnanimous, great, wholeheartedly later on. You will resolve Ishvara also in the Parabrahma. Where is Ishvara other than the truth? You will say that. And Gaudapada Acharya and Mandukya, has no thought. We will resolve it. We will resolve Ishvara. We will resolve the Jagat. When you offer yourself, and we resolve your own self, and how can you not resolve Ishvara? You must be there to worship Ishvara. You must be there to see the world. In Vedantic Jnanam, first thing you resolve yourself. You resolve your individuality. You lose yourself. You will disappear. In Jnanam, you have to search for yourself. Where are you? Isn't it true? In knowledge, you have to search for yourself. You cannot find yourself afterwards. You will see only the truth. Isn't it true? When you have cognitively resolved your own individuality and identity, and where is Jagat and Ishvara? Helplessly, choicelessly, you had to resolve. That is cognitive resolution. You mean, understand what I'm saying? Therefore, we'll resolve. But still, in the beginning, we have to see the Ishvara as order. We have two factors. You will see Ishvara as an order and Ishvara as the devatas. Ishvara as the karmaphala data, Ishvara as the all the devatas. So the two factors, living in conformity with Ishvara as an order and living in conformity with the Ishvara. Again, by expressing my gratitude to the devatas, So Isha is important in the beginning for your own growth, for the assimilation of the most abstract fact. You need to grow, you need to become subtler, and to become subtle, you need Ishvara in the beginning. We don't say Ishvara is not there. We relatively accept Ishvara. But there is no Ishvara for them. Veda they accept. Karma they accept. So for them, what is important? Verb. Verb is important in a sentence. And a sentence with the verb, especially imperative verbs, vidhivakyani, are very important. Whole Veda's aim is to chase, to drive people, the lazy people, drive them to do act and make them enjoy the benefits. Anyway, just I introduced today. Actually, last class I introduced the Vidya Sutram, and today I've introduced the commentary on Vidya Sutram, which we have only introduced, okay? I have not gone in detail. I'll continue the detailed commentary on it next class. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.